Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, March the 26th. Looking forward to talking with our guest this hour and with you about old movies. Classic films that our guest says families can and should watch together. Films that kids will enjoy, maybe even be better off watching than some of the junk produced for children today. We will talk about the top five films, the best films to watch with your toddler, your tweener, and your teenager, and we will welcome your suggestions too. What are some of your favorite classic films, and which of them would you recommend watching with children, and why? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send in your review to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Ty Burr. He's the film critic for the Boston Globe. Previously, he worked as the chief video critic for the magazine Entertainment Weekly. He is the author of the book, The Best Old Movies for Families, A Guide to Watching Together. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. I could have used some of these DVDs of these classic films when I was on vacation last week. I went to Jamaica for 4 days, and it rained every day. They said it never happened before.
I'm sorry.
That's the way it goes. Speaking of rain, though, here's a clip that I used in the intro of the program.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again.
And Singing in the Rain with Gene Kelly was on the top five list for parents to watch with their toddlers. How did you come up with that recommendation?
It's not necessarily the top five films, but the easiest and best five films to begin with your, you know, toddlers or tweeners or teenagers, because each group is sort of a distinctive group, and they're coming to old movies with assumptions and associations, but with little guys. And by little guys, I'm talking about 3 or 4 year olds to 8 year olds. You know, before that, you know, somebody I was talking to said, "Oh, I should be showing my 6 month old Charlie Chaplin movies." And I was thinking, "No, you should be showing your 6 month old the world. You know, keep them away from TV for a while." But Singing in the Rain is, you could argue that's the first movie anybody should see. You know, it's in color, it moves fast. I showed that to my daughter when she was 3 years old, my older daughter, and she had no idea what the plot was about, but she just enjoyed it, and she went around singing the songs and singing in the rain, you know, tap dancing down the street when it was raining, and it's a movie about joy. It's purely joyful.
To this day, I think I still think of that when I'm walking in the rain.
Sure, who doesn't?
Yeah. So did you tested a lot of these movies with your own children?
I would say probably the majority of films in the book I've watched with my girls. I've got two daughters, just 10 and just 12, respectively. And they didn't want to watch the scary ones, so we didn't get into Frankenstein, although I do discuss them in the book, and I've seen them. And but most of them we watched, and most of them they really enjoyed, and if they didn't, I got an earful about it.
Now, I was looking at something in the Christian Science Monitor here that said that you have a reputation as the man who showed The Seven Samurai to his kids, and they liked it.
And they liked it. Oh, yeah. that's just, you know, among my friends. They were like, "Excuse me, you showed a 3-hour Japanese, you know, language or a subtitle movie to your kids, and what did you do? Did you bolt them to the chairs?" No, I was watching it for actually an article I was writing, and Eliza sat down and said, "You know, what's this about?" And I said, "It's a action samurai movie. You know, I'll read you the subtitle." She must have been about 9, and her little sister sort of sat down. She was about 7, and I read it to him like you're reading a storybook. And there's enough action in the movie, and we watched it in 2 parts. And I kept saying, "Please, you know, if you want to go off and play and read a book or do something else, you know, by all means." They stuck with it, and they loved the movie.
And it says here, too, that you your oldest daughter wanted to watch Bringing Up Baby during her 9th birthday party.
Right. By that time, she'd become a Katharine Hepburn fanatic. Bringing Up Baby is a movie I showed them fairly early, just because it's funny. And it's got that, you know, for kids, any movie that starts with a dinosaur skeleton, you know, they know at that opening shot that by the end of the movie, that skeleton is coming down. And it does, and finally, and it's worth waiting for. But she she'd seen Little Women, the original 1933 Little Women with Hepburn, around the time that she was reading Louisa May Alcott. So she just really fell for the actress, and she wanted to share it with her friends. And she said, "I want to have a Katharine Hepburn party." And this is how I start the book, with my wife and I trying to talk her out of it, because we were sure all her friends would, you know, they'd just seen Shrek. You know, they would have no interest in a black and white movie with people they'd never heard of. And, their parents were worried, too, and we had to, have coloring books and books set up on the side in case, kids got bored. And they didn't get bored. It's a funny movie. The point of the book is that good stories last. Good stories live on. And if you can get kids to look past black and white or the pace, the pace is slower in a lot of old movies just because the pace of our culture is accelerated. Everything they watch is faster. But if you start them young, they just understand that this is an alternative programming stream, a different way of looking at things. My God, the pleasures are endless.
Yeah. We are talking with Ty Burr. He's the author of the book, The Best Old Movies for Families, A Guide to Watching Together. We welcome your questions for him, or maybe your thoughts on great classic films that you think or you know your kids or grandkids would love to watch. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And that's the theme song of North by Northwest, another one of the classic films that you might want to consider watching with your tweener. We're talking with Ty Burr. He is the author of The Best Old Movies for Families, A Guide to Watching Together. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Ty Burr is also the film critic for the Boston Globe. So what is it about North by Northwest that tweeners enjoy, Ty Burr?
Well, it's suspenseful. And I think it's not a bad idea to introduce kids to, scary movies that aren't, suspenseful, enjoyably suspenseful movies, not ones that are predicated on, people's spleens being removed with jigsaws and stuff like that, because they'll get enough of that. But it's also a great, for one thing, it's a color film. It's got Cary Grant. It moves pretty quickly. It's got a intriguing central premise of a man mistaken for a spy, and it ends, of course, on with the Cary Grant hanging off Mount Rushmore. But it's also the first Hitchcock movie. I mean, or rather, a good first Hitchcock movie, in that it introduces to a kid that there was this guy who made these movies that are suspenseful and have a voice that's consistent across all the movies. And that was, I think, that and Rear Window were the first Hitchcock movies I watched with my girls, and we sort of fanned out across his filmography, and they've come to understand that he's a star director. He's sort of a star of a sensibility. He was, I think, that he and Spielberg were the first sort of star directors they knew.
Yeah. Speaking of Hitchcock movies, this one is on the list, maybe one of the five easiest movies to watch with your teenager. And I want to talk to you about this one after we hear from Norman Bates.
Mother, my mother, what is the phrase? She isn't quite herself today.
So Psycho, really? That's on the list to watch with your teenager.
Well, no, that's on the list, especially when you get to the teenage chapters or the movies that are recommended for teenagers and up. You have to take, but for all the movies in the book, you have to take into account your kid and what they're about and what they'll respond to. And I'm certainly not recommending showing Psycho to any kid who's gets scared easily. But as I say in the book, if you've got a teenager who's already into all these Dice and Slice horror movies, who's seen the Saw movies, who's seen, The Grudge and The Grudge 2, and kids go to these movies with their friends at a, by the time they're 14 and 15, which I'm not happy about, but it's out there. But if you've got a kid who's into these movies or knowledgeable about them, it's fun to sit down with this one and say, here's where it started. Here's Slasher Movie 1.0. Done with a sensibility, and it's fun to explain the context and when it was made in 1961, nobody saw this coming, and it really was a curveball out of left field. So, again, it's one to introduce to a kid who already is familiar with the genre, but mm-hmm. it's not something you mm-hmm. want to spring on somebody who's never seen a movie like this before. Mm-hmm.
I just remember my mother would not let me watch The Birds when it was...
Me too! Me too! It was on TV, and I couldn't watch it. I was so angry.
I know. I wanted to see that one.
And I have my 10-year-old. Every 2 months, she says, "Dad, can I watch Psycho now?" And I keep saying, "No, wait till you're 13 at least, then we'll see."
Oh, all right. Well, let's go to the phones. Sue in Green Bay is with us first. Hi, Sue. You're on the air.
Hi. And I love the Hitchcock thing. I have a whole thing for that. But this is. I was going to go back to the Kate Hepburn and Spencer Tracy at his rib.
Yes.
Now I'm thinking maybe for teenagers in a way because it shows the give and take of a relationship between a man and a woman.
You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. You can. I watched that with my girls.
I love that.
A year or so ago, and they really enjoyed it.
It's basically, you know, about they're two lawyers. They're on the same case, but on opposite sides.
Right, and it also has Judy Holliday, who's a very funny character actress. Right.
If
your kid knows anything about Kate Hepburn, it's fun for them to see the relationship between her and Tracy.
Thank you. Exactly. And then I just want to throw in, and then when the massage.
Right.
And what, do you got radar back there?
Fill us in on that one. I don't get that one.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'll let him.
Yeah. All right, Ty.
There's a scene where he gives her a playful swat on the rear, and she calls him on that. He comments that she has radar in her rear end.
Oh, I get it. Okay. It reminded me just the other day on, one of the classic movie channels, I saw Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and it had been a long, long time since I saw that. I suppose that one is one that that kids, you could talk to kids, too, about the messages in that film.
Yeah, that one I haven't watched with the girls just because we just haven't seen it. I'm wondering if that one has dated in a way that the conversation may already have had that conversation in other areas. Not that it's not a film worth seeing. To Kill a Mockingbird, on the other hand, is one that sort of seems to be timeless, and you can have conversations coming out of that one about racism and injustice and doing what's right that are just amazing.
Yeah. Jody in Caledonia, Minnesota. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
My daughter, when she was a toddler, loved the Mary Martin version of Peter Pan. Much more over any of the Disney stories. Mm-hmm. So. And those old classic musicals, she started on Music Man and all those.
Right. Yeah, and those still hold up. All of those musicals still hold up, especially with little guys, because I think little guys are open to the idea that people just normally burst into song and dance in the course of their day, which, you know what, little kids do. Little kids like live in a musical. By the time they get to age 10, they get a little cynical about that, although... One nice thing about this Disney TV show that was such a hit last year, High School Musical, is that it's bringing the form back. And, you know, hopefully we'll see it pop up more on TV and on film.
Yeah. Do you think, Tiber, that the, the current crop of movies geared to kids are not as good as these old classics?
Sometimes they are. Sometimes it depends on the quality, as always, of the story and the writing and the directing. One thing I think, is that kids... culture is part of a whole larger culture of selling stuff to them, that you can't see High School Musical without getting the tie-in CD, that, you know, you can't see a CGI animated movie, computer animated movie, without it being, you know, the DVD being rammed down your throat. You can't watch Disney TV without all the associated products being sold to you. An old movie is selling nothing but itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to take a break from that kid culture that's really kind of one constant cell.
Yeah. And thanks to Jody in Caledonia. Now Jody in Madison. We have two Jodys. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jody.
Hi. My kids absolutely love the Marx Brothers, Marx Brothers movie. They laugh their heads off.
Now, how old were they when they first started watching them?
Probably 9 and 6.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. You got the three brothers, four if you're looking at the early ones with Zeppo. Groucho is so talkative. I remember he kind of put my girls off at first because he just talks so fast they can't keep up with him. But the Harpo they love because he's a silent clown in the tradition of Chaplin and Keaton. But those movies are hilarious, especially Duck Soup and A Night at the Opera, just because they're crazy. They're crazy in a way that It's like imagine three Jim Carreys in one movie.
Thanks again, Jody. Let's talk a little bit about another one on the list for watching with your teenager. This scene from Rebel Without a Cause.
Got anything to say for yourself? Not interested, huh?
Can't you answer? What's the matter with you anyhow?
He's just loaded, honey.
I was talking to Jim.
Well, I'd like to just explain. You see, we just moved here, you understand, and the kid hasn't got any friends, you understand?
Hey, well,
and
we moved into it.
Will you hold it, Jim?
Tell the man why we moved here.
Will you hold it?
You can't protect me.
Do you mind if I try? Do you have to slam the door in my face? I try to get to him. What happens? Don't I buy you everything you want? A bicycle? You get a bicycle. A car?
You buy me many things.
No. Well, not just buy. We give you love and affection, don't we? Well, then what is it? Was it because we went to that party? Well, you know what kind of drunken brawls those kind of parties turn into. It's not a place for kids.
A minute ago, you said you didn't care if he drinks.
He said a little drink.
You're tearing me apart!
That was Jim's parents and grandmother trying to getting him from jail after Jim had been drinking.
James Dean, and can you imagine if your father was Mr. Magoo? Because that's who's playing in the movie.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah, Jim Backus, Mr. Magoo, and Thurston Howell III.
Yeah, so why do you think that's a good one for teenagers?
If you've got a teenager, as a lot of teenagers are, who are just feeling a little alienated and, you know, separated and feeling like the world doesn't understand them, this is a movie that's eternal, that just still plays like it was made yesterday. And the sound clip you pulled has it all in there, just the feeling that you've got a life separate from your parents, that they don't understand you, that when they argue, they're tearing you apart. All the angst and anxieties are there in James Dean's performance, which, again, has not dated an iota. It's a color film. It's a widescreen film. Natalie Wood's tremendous in it. Sal Mineo's tremendous in it. To me, it's like the movie version of The Catcher in the Rye. Mm-hmm. It just lasts. It still speaks to today's, you know, kids as it did 50 years ago.
We are talking with Ty Burr. He is the film critic for the Boston Globe, previously was the chief video critic for Entertainment Weekly, where he also covered movies, books, theater, music, and the internet. He is the author of the new book, The Best Old Movies for Families, A Guide to Watching Together. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him. We welcome your recommendations of classic films, your favorite old movies that perhaps you think your children or grandchildren would like, or maybe you know because you have watched them together. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We'll continue talking about the best old movies for families after we check the latest news from National Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We're talking about the best old movies for families with our guest, Ty Burr, who is the author of this book, also the film critic for the Boston Globe, welcoming your recommendations and your thoughts and questions for him on this 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We've already talked about some of the five most appropriate movies to watch with your toddler, your tweener, and your teenager. For the young set, we talked about Singin' in the Rain. For the tweeners, talked about North by Northwest as one of those. For the teenager, Rebel Without a Cause, a Psycho even, and The Seven Samurai. What movies do you think your toddler, tweener, or teenager would like? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. David in Greendale is with us next. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Probably for a little older kid, but young adults, would be 12 Angry Men and A Man for All Seasons.
Mm.
And there's one more I was just thinking of that would really be appropriate. It's My Man Godfrey.
A tremendous movie. My girls love that one. It's so good. It's so funny. And it teaches you about the Depression, I mean, in a way that is very comic and very sort of simple, but gets it across how much suffering that was going on there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think these speak to integrity, mm-hmm. a person's moral compass, so many things like that, that people are just always grasping to learn, to grow, to just something that points them in a direction.
That's absolutely true about the older films, that they do have an awareness of sort of personal responsibility in the world and to the world. You mentioned 12 Angry Men for older kids. I actually watched it. I tell about this in the book. I came home from jury duty, and Eliza, my older one, who was about 8, I tried to explain to her what I'd done that day, and it was awfully complicated. And then literally 12 Angry Men was coming on Turner Classic, so he said, hey, let's watch this. And it was so clear. That movie made it so clear not only what the jury system is about, but what one's moral duty and democratic duty in standing up for your beliefs within that system is about. Mm-hmm. And she got it.
And David, did you have a third one in your list there?
Well, like I said, My Man Godfrey.
My Man Godfrey, right.
Yeah.
And A Man for All Seasons.
Man for All Seasons. I mean, that has to be probably one of my personal favorites.
Right. And that one, I think, is for slightly older kids just because it's so talky, but it's great talk.
Thank you very much, David, for your thoughts. And let's talk a little bit about another one that's on the list of five to watch with your tweener. I have a clip from the movie Some Like It Hot. This is the movie with Marilyn Monroe and Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon. This is the train scene.
You the replacement for the vase and sack?
That's us. And I'm Daphne. This is Joe Zabin.
Yeah. I'm Sugar Cane.
Hi. Sugar Cane?
Yeah, I changed. It used to be Sugar Kowalczyk.
Polish?
Yes. I come from this musical family. My mother is a piano teacher. My father was a conductor.
Where did he conduct?
On the Baltimore and Ohio.
All right. So, because it's funny? Or why that one?
Because it's funny because you've got guys dressing as women, which is always funny.
That's
and
a classic.
One, it's exactly. It's just classic comedy right there. And you've got not only that, but Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis dressing as women. They play jazzmen in the 20s who have to go on the lam and disguise and hide out with an all-girls orchestra. So they're dressed as flappers. And Lemmon, of course, is extremely feminine. And Curtis looks like he's having the worst time of his life. And it's just funny. Kids crack up at this. But it also introduces Marilyn Monroe. It's probably her best film, her best performance in a film. And there's something absolutely charming and delightful and adorable, yet very sad about her. And you don't even really have to explain to kids what was up with her. They just get it from watching this movie.
I just thought of, for whatever reason, is that what, do you think, sparked Bosom Buddies, that TV sitcom?
Yeah, probably. I'm sure. Yeah. Tom Hanks' first moment in the sun. That's right, back in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just heard from friends of mine who showed their boys this movie the last week, and it seems to work. Again, it's one of these eternal comedies. It's always funny.
Yeah. 1-800-642-1234. We're welcoming your questions or your recommendations of classic films that you think would be a great family fare. We're talking about The Best Old Movies for Families, A Guide to Watching Together, the book written by our guest, Ty Burr, who is the film critic for the Boston Globe. What made you write this book, Ty Burr? Why put together a book on all these old classic movies?
Well, I'd always loved old movies from the time I was a teenager. I got into them back in the 1970s when they were before the video era, when you had to watch them on late night TV or catch them in revival houses. And when my daughters came along, I wanted to introduce them to them and sort of experience them new through their eyes. But more to the point, as I watched them watch TV, as I saw their sort of pop culture kick in and followed them from PBS Kids to Nick Jr. to Disney TV to High School Musical, I just realized that it was such a narrow culture that was being given to them and sold to them. A lot of fun, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, you should watch only these movies and forget about watching, you know, The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody on Disney TV, which is my younger daughter's favorite TV show. This is an alternative programming stream. And it also is something you can watch together with the kids. There's so much. Personally, I don't need to see Ice Age 2 for the 47th time. And most parents put that on and they walk out of the room. Or they don't sit there and watch, you know, the Nick shows that, you know, my daughters watch. And for, and conversely, my kids can't watch the DVDs that my wife and I rent because they're PG-13 or they're R or they're dealing with violence or sexuality. And you get this balkanized household where one kid's watching, you know, Nick in the den, another kid's on the iPod, dad's surfing the web, you know, checking the weather, mom's watching TV in the kitchen or whatever. And everybody's in their own little media bubble. The great thing about these old movies is you have to watch them together. You can just have to hunker down in a big dog pack, and there's, you don't have to worry about inappropriate whatever, you know, language, sexuality, violence, whatever is your bugaboo. And you can experience together, it together, and you have these wonderful conversations or just be entertained together. You know, it's that's an increasing rarity today.
Yeah, I remember I read a blurb, a review of your book from someone who said, those of us who have seen The Lion King approximately 11,000 times greet your book with near desperate relief.
Yes.
Mal in La Crosse is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, it's Mel.
I'm sorry, Mel.
That's okay. Boy, thank you. That's a great topic. There are so many movies that I've enjoyed, not only with my kids, but when I was younger. I'm a baby boomer. And a couple of them I think that would be really great that I recall would be the original Absent-Minded Professor with Fred McMurray, Swiss Family Robinson. The Parent Trap was a great movie, the original. Yep. And any of the post Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis movies that The Cinder Fella and Absent-Minded Professor, that Visit to a Small Planet, rather. Yeah, and you know, those are you know, 50s, early 60s type of things. I think were great, but I wouldn't stop and, you know, from not showing the kids the classic movies of all time, I guess. The High Noons and Casablanca's and things, they have messages that I think will get through to kids as well. And I think I'm looking forward to reading that book.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. And I agree. One of the neat things about the old movies is that they can let kids deal with adult themes and adult situations and stuff that they... moral issues that they wrestle with in school and in life, but in a format that they don't have to worry about sort of being brutalized by language or violence. And High Noon is a perfect example.
Yeah. Now, Mel mentioned a couple of movies that I certainly remember watching as a kid, Parent Trap and Swiss Family Robinson, but I also think of those as movies that were made for kids to watch, and
That's the first wave of Disney movies. Mm-hmm. You know, Absent Mind Professor and Parent Trap and That Darn Cat. You remember that one from the early 60s?
Yeah.
I loved that one. I saw that, like, repeatedly in theaters. They weren't made specifically for kids as so much as they were made for families.
Right.
They were the original wave of Disney family movies, and they're good. Interestingly, almost all of those movies have been remade by Disney. I mean, there's a new That Darn Cat. There's a new The Parent Trap, obviously, with Lindsay Lohan.
That one as much?
For kids, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
For kids, they're equally fine, and it's fun. Like in the case of Freaky Friday, my daughters have seen both versions and enjoy both versions, and it's kind of fun to see how they translate that story in two different generations. But at the same time, that's the beginning of Disney product, and clearly they have been remaking them. And, you know, from a business standpoint, it makes sense to remake them every 20, 30 years for a new crop of, for a new audience. But they're enjoyable, but they're targeted. I mean, I don't want to take anybody's enjoyment away from that. At the same time, you know, Herbie the Love Bug, do you really need to see the original when they've got the remake? The Nutty Professor, which was remade with Eddie Murphy, is a fun movie, but yeah, you should show them. In that case, you should show them the Jerry Lewis original because there's totally different stuff going on there. It depends on the movie.
We're going to check our very un-March-like weather forecast, and then we'll continue talking about old movies, the best old movies for families. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Got a favorite classic film that you'd like to talk with our guest about, one that you think kids might enjoy as well? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
What's your name, friend?
John Little. What's yours?
Robin.
Not Robin of Locksley.
Why?
Then I'm right glad I fell in with you.
It was he who did the falling in.
That was from The Adventures of Robin Hood, when Robin meets Little John. We're talking about classic films, old movies, the best old movies for families, a guide to watching them together. Our guest is Ty Burr, who is the film critic for the Boston Globe and also is the author of this new book. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And The Adventures of Robin Hood, Ty, on your list of movies to watch with your toddler.
Yeah, you could watch that with a 3 or 4 year old, and it's like reading a picture book. It's the best Robin Hood movie. Errol Flynn is the best Robin Hood that's ever hit the screen. It's in that sort of glowing candy colored Technicolor. Basil Rathbone is a great villain. Olivia de Havilland is a wonderful Maid Marian. It's like a storybook. A storybook. There's nothing complicated about that film at all. You could watch it with, you know, a very young child, and it's a wonderful experience.
And we'll go back to the phones. John in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hello there. Yeah, I was just thinking about when I was a little kid sitting down with my father and grandfather, and we'd watch the Abbott and Costello movies.
Oh, yeah, those are hilarious.
All of us just laughing. You know, I was like 5, 6, 7 years old, and just some awesome memories of that. A little bit of the Stooges, but I really remember Abbott and Costello. Just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did. And again, talking about sitting there with your dad and your granddad, I mean, that's what we're talking about with these movies, that you can just do this together, and your kids remember that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And you don't need to have a giant dancing purple dinosaur for a young child to be entertained.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Charlie Chaplin's good enough.
Yeah. Tim in Michicott. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I had two thoughts. One was a line, gotta dance, but I don't remember what movie it was.
That's from Singin' in the Rain. That's from the big production number at the end of Singin' in the Rain.
Okay. And my movie was West Side Story.
Ah, trying.
We absolutely scandalized all the adults because they were used to South Pacific, and we had teenagers in leather jackets singing and
rumbling.
The music was wonderful.
Oh, God. Yep. It's still... It's also a good way to turn kids on to Shakespeare, because it's Romeo and Juliet, you know, with gangs.
Yeah, in fact, there's a picture of West Side Story on the cover of your book, so that one is one of the recommended classics. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tim. Renee in East Troy, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, I got a long list. The Wizard of Oz, To Kill a Mockingbird, The King and I with Bill Brynner. And one thing that I don't think too many people have seen, but I just thought it was fantastic, was there's a French version of Beauty and the Beast by Jean Cocteau.
Yeah.
It would be probably for an older kid, but it was made during the war and on virtually like no money at all. And the special effects in that are just breathtaking for the time. World War II. Are you familiar with that one?
It's in the book. I have a small chapter on foreign language films for, you know, the kids who want to go that and are sophisticated. But that particular one, it's known as La Belle and la Bête, Beauty and the Beast. It's in the book. Interestingly, it's where the Disney Beauty and the Beast got a lot of its visual images. And I actually watched it with the girls when they were fairly young, and again read the subtitles to them like it was a storybook, and it's a very powerful movie. It's beautiful to look at, absolutely gorgeous. You're right, and it's not well enough known, because I think the Disney version has sort of colonized the cultural imagination. And that's a great Disney movie. I'm not dumping on that one, but this thing is another. This one's much more dreamlike and powerful and really neat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And The Wizard of Oz, I can certainly relate to, Renee. That was, I think I saw that like every single year until
right.
I was an adult.
Me too.
But why do you think The King and I is a good one for families?
Oh, The King and I, my goodness, that dancing scene, and I don't know, Yul Brynner was just so wonderful in that role, and just to see that dance, people don't dance like that anymore. It was just amazing, and I happen to know a little bit about how they filmed that, how that gal, I can't remember her name, how she had bruises all over her legs from that skirt that she wore.
Deborah Carr?
Yeah. Yes, when they, it had like these really, you know, really strong stays to make it stand out like that, and they practiced it over and over again, and, oh, I don't know.
No, I love the movie. I just wanted to get your reasoning why you thought it was a good, good
movie. And the
movie
music. Mm-hmm. Every single song mm-hmm. they sang. I mean, how many times do you see a musical now and there's just one song that stands out?
Right.
But this was every single one mm-hmm. is memorable, you know?
Thank you.
They don't
you
make for... musicals like that anymore.
No, they don't. Yeah. I wish they did.
Yeah. Are many of those movies in your book, Tiber?
Well, there's a whole chapter on musicals. The book is basically organized by genre once you get past the first recommendations. Comedy, drama, musicals, action, adventure, and westerns, and suspense, and, you know, and the early horror films. And then there is a small chapter on foreign language films. But, yeah, the musicals take up a full chapter, and, you know, you can't go wrong. You just can't. If you've got a kid that's open to the idea of musicals, you can't find a bad one, just about.
Now, I know that The Seven Samurai is on the list for teenagers. What about The Magnificent Seven? Wasn't that based on The Seven Samurai?
That was. It's not in the book, but I do mention it. Actually, I mentioned it in the write-up on Seven Samurai. For each movie, toward the end of each entry, I'd say, you know, if you like this, here's where you should go for a year.
Uh-huh.
And I mentioned The Magnificent Seven, which is a very good Western. I mean, The Seven Samurai is like one of the great films of all time, especially if you've got a teenager who's into, you know, Hong Kong action movies. Yeah, you can point to this and say, you know, here's a Japanese one from 50 years ago that started a lot of it. But Magnificent Seven is absolutely, if your kid's into Westerns, and again, that's increasingly a tough sell. The Westerns have sort of fallen out of favor unless, you know, they're watching HBO and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, watching that, and they can't watch that one. They don't get that in the culture that much, so it's fun to show them Stagecoach or Magnificent Seven or Shane or, you know, some of those great old Westerns and introduce them to the form.
Lynn in Mount Horeb is with us now. Hi, Lynn.
Hello. Someone mentioned earlier the 12 Angry Men, and I used that in my class. I taught government,
uh-huh.
and I used that when we were dealing with the unit on the judicial branch. But in the unit on the presidency, because that's a leadership role, I used the film Mr. Roberts.
Oh.
And what I did was I had them analyze transformational and transactional leadership in the four main characters in the film. And the kids always, it starts out kind of slow, but by the time they're 10 minutes into the film, they just are absolutely loving the film. And
right.
they don't actually want it to end. So
mm-hmm.
it's a very good film for trying to get kids to think about what it means to be a good leader and to be able to actually lead people in a positive way.
Wow, that's neat. And who are the four main characters? There's Henry Fonda, Jack Lemmon as Ensign Pulver.
The captain.
James Cagney as the captain. And
then Doc.
Oh,
William
which is William Powell. Right,
mm-hmm.
right. Who's sort of the onlooker.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really neat idea.
Mm-hmm. And it works out really well. They really enjoy the film a lot. And I think it also introduces them to some of these older films. They see that one first, and it's in color.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I use the 12 Angry Men, I always use the black and white one, not the color version that was
right.
made later.
Right.
And it gets them into the mood for the idea of classic films, because a lot of these kids have never seen a film that was made before, like, 1990.
Right.
And that sort of thing. And I also have used My Man Godfrey when I did when I was teaching American history and we did the Depression.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Lynn. I appreciate the call. Lots of good ideas there.
Yeah, really.
And talk briefly again, Tiber, about color versus black and white. The kids don't mind the black and white?
If you start them early, if you show black and white stuff to your kids, I mean, you know, if you got boys, you're showing them, you can show them the Three Stooges when they're five if you don't mind them, the
mm-hmm.
imitation. Sorry, my kids are waving goodbye. They're going to school. My kids. If you introduce black and white when they're young, they don't know that it's something that's, you know, quote, bad for them
mm-hmm.
or corny or old. Trying to, you know, turn a, you know, a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old or a 16-year-old onto a black movie when they have never really dealt with it before is a hard sell because they just think it's old and corny and they resist.
Yeah.
She had a good idea of introducing color and then moving into black and white. Yeah. On the other hand, you know, you can show a 4-year-old a Charlie Chaplin silent, you know, comedy, and they don't know that black and white is bad for them. They don't know that, you know, it's silent and that's not, you know, what they're supposed to be watching. It's just a funny guy.
Yeah.
So once you get, I think, past a certain age, you just have to pick the right black and white movie, one that's really going to play well. You know, again, a Some Like It Hot or a 12 Angry Men that really does work because it's either so funny or so dramatically gripping that the black and white issue isn't a problem.
You know, we have less than a minute to go and not enough time for another caller. Do you have one last a pick or recommendation that we haven't talked about yet?
Oh, Lord.
Sorry about that.
So many movies in my head. Roman Holiday. Roman Holiday with Audrey Hepburn and any Cary Grant movie for boys. I think all boys should see Cary Grant movies for a role model, because the role models they get in today's culture aren't ones that I would be particularly happy with. I think they should understand the possibility of male grace and male elegance and male tact.
Great place to leave it. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Ty Burr, our guest, author of The Best Old Movies for Families. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.